Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we want to know you more. We surrender to you. Father, drench our souls with your mercy and your grace. Oh, Father, we thank you for your sons and daughters that are gathered here. We thank you for the privilege that we have to tune in, Father God, to worship together. We thank you for the gathering of the souls here. We thank you, O God, that you are the King of kings and you are the Lord of lords. Father, glorify your holy name. Father, glorify your holy name. Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seat. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My name is Pastor Gideon Nash. I'm speaking from South Street Baptist Church here in Greenwich, in London. And I welcome you all here. If you're here for the first time, just wave to us. We want to acknowledge you. If you're in the sanctuary or the balcony, you're here for the first time, just wave to us. Hey, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Hallelujah, Lord. God richly bless you. And today I pray that you'll be here and go with the blessings of God upon your head. This week is going to be a powerful week for you. You're going to see the hand of God over your life and give him glory. When you see that happening, it will happen in Jesus' name. And for those of you who are tuning online, our family online, I just want to welcome you here again for our services. And I pray that God will bless you mightily. I just want to, especially those of you in the sanctuary or even when you are watching me online, I want you to do something. Take up your phone. If you have a phone, just take it. Let me see. But I don't want to appropriate your phone. If you've got a mobile phone, just take it. Hallelujah. I'm not going to do anything unusual, right? So don't be afraid. There are no robbers here. There are no thieves here. We are fine. Fine people here in South Street. If you've got a phone, right? Now, whilst you have your phone, do you have a friend? Are you on a social media, social group? If you are, right, I want you to share this, live service. Just share it with somebody. Share with your friends. I want you to do it right now. Don't be afraid. Share with them. They will never stop being your friends. They may be upset with you, but it will do them good if you share it with them. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Hallelujah, Lord. Today, I want to continue from where I started last week. I'm guessing that our children are staying in, right? Okay. So please forgive us. August sometimes is a little bit tight when people are on holidays, but, give us a couple of weeks and all our friends will be back, and then we'll have a full children's service because we need for our young ones to have their services. It's very, very important that they can access God at their own level. Amen. Amen. Now, last week I started a message called End Time Distractions. End Time Distractions. I'm not going to preach the same message, but then I would like to bring you up to speed. If you want to hear the message, I would like you to go to our website, www.southstreetchurch.org.uk. Go to the media site and listen to the audio version, or go to our YouTube channel, South Street Baptist Church, Greenwich, YouTube channel, and then I want you to listen to it. End time distractions. You see, now we're saying that we are in the end times simply because 600 years before Jesus Christ was born, there was a man called Daniel that most of you may know in the Bible. And he was having dreams and visions about the times that we live in, and really disturbed his spirit. And he went on a fast to seek God's face and said, God, I want you to reveal to me what is it that you are talking about. It looks scary, it looks worrying, and I want to know exactly, God, what do you want to do? And God gave him understanding. And some of this understanding of times, he asked, then when is it going to happen? Of course, Jesus Christ said, no one knows when the world is going to end, but then there will be signs for us to understand that. So Daniel was also given, in his case, he was given even dates and times. And when you calculate it, it's just within the time that you and me are right now, this season. And it is this season that we are talking about, is end times. In that period, there will be an unleash of powerful and anti-Christian spirit over the world, and with the intention of wearing out the saints of the Most High God. That means in times like this, if you look around, there's an unleash. Maybe people don't understand. You see, there are powers unseen. There are things that is happening that you don't see, but you only see the results. You see, I mean, our smart people call it secularization. That means it's a system that comes in gradually. You don't even realize. By the time that your eyes get open, whole things have changed. And God is out. And reason and everything is in. And you can't even worship the way you need to worship. And of course, the last year and probably what is still happening with the pandemic is all part of the end time distractions. The idea is to wear out the saints. You see, there'll be a proliferation. Literally, that means there's going to be a proliferation. That means there's going to be an unleash of spiritual activity, but not for God, but against anything God stands for. The world is going to be very spiritual. The world will want more spirit. They want more spiritual activity. They want to tap into the supernatural. But then they don't want to tap into this for God's sake. They want to tap into it for another reason that they want to do this for. You see, and a glimpse of this was given in the Bible reference that we chose last week, which we are going to repeat it, is Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. If you've got it, please let's read it together. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he says this, and he, meaning the devil, shall speak pompous words against the Most High God. He shall prosecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time and a time and a time and a half. Hallelujah. And he shall speak pompous words or great words against the Most High God and shall wear out the saints. Note that word, wear out the saints of the Most High. And he will think or he will intend to change your times, meaning your principles and your values and your laws. And the Christians especially or the saints of God shall be given into the hands of the enemy until the time and the dividing of time. And that means that the enemy is going to have a free reign to hound you, to do what he wants, and nothing will stop it because the laws are going to be changed. And one of the strategies of the end time is distraction. That's why I'm talking about end time distraction. I'm only bringing it up to speed. 3 more minutes, and I'll go into today's, continue from there. The main purpose is to wear down the saints. And I said that, you see, today, as it was last week, my aim or my objective is to expose end time distraction, the purpose, and learn how to overcome them. It's very important that we know the purpose for which the enemy is doing this. And we said that distractions are anything that prevents you from achieving your destiny, your goal, or your calling, or even your purpose in life. Distractions can be a person, can be a thing, and a place. In other words, distractions come in the form of a person, in the form of a thing, or in the form of a place. They are end-time strategies that attack our young people, that can also attack every adult and anyone who want to do something for God, or any child of God who want to achieve something for himself or herself. These happen especially in immature people, especially those lacking discernment, people who cannot see and understand the times. You see, if you are not spiritually mature, distraction will be a very effective tool of the enemy against you. And I talk about 3 points which I want to mention briefly. What is the purpose of distraction? I said, number one, the purpose is to wear down the saints. The objective is to make sure that you become burnt out. And number two, I said, is to prevent you from getting what you set out to achieve. And that is, all distractions is to prevent a goal or a destiny to be achieved. The goal being your dream, your vision, your target, your purpose. Distraction is supposed to prevent you from having it. And at what point do you get distracted? I pose that question. And the answer is when you lose your focus. Amen? when you lose your focus. And number three, I said that the purpose of distraction is to lose your conviction. You see, you get distracted from your purpose, call, your assignment, or goals in life when you lose your conviction of your focus. You lose the things that you put your mind on it, that this is what I want to do. Then you yourself don't even believe what you are thinking about because there are so many things distracting you. And at that point, you become out of focus. You don't focus on your dreams, your goals, and your assignment anymore. Now, I want to continue from here. What is the purpose of end time distraction? Number four is to weigh down the saints. First, we said wear out the saints, but this time is to weigh down the saints. Let us do a reading from Scripture. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 to 36. You see, I'm teaching you these things because in this church, we don't talk about theories. We talk about things from our realities, things that we've experienced, things that we've touched. And all these things that I'm talking to you about, I'm not immune from it. I've been through some of these things. And sometimes I still go through them, but I had to know what to do. And today I'm teaching you to know what to do in these times when all around us, the enemy has a free reign to do what he wants to do and to mess up our lives and prevent us from achieving our goals. So we want to help you to understand that so that you know how to stand and be a strong Christian. Because the Bible tells that those who know their God in these times, they will be strong and do exploits. The same Daniel said this. He said, these things will come. These things will distract us. These things will depress us. These things will literally get us behind. They will disappoint us. One of the things that I'll be talking in this series, end time disappointment. It will disappoint us, and we will come to the point of really knowing, God, what do we do? The purpose is to weigh you down. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 to 36. Say, but take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, right? Partying, enjoying yourself, drunkenness. Come on. Wait. Come back. Yes. Yeah, with carousing, drunkenness, right? Drunkenness, not only in alcohol is the easy way to be drunk, but sometimes other things get us drunk. You see, you're in a hurry more than I am. But anyway, so weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of life. And that day will come on you unexpectedly. You see, when the enemy wants to weigh you down, you see, it comes unexpectedly. You may be doing certain things that you think, oh gosh, this thing makes me so happy. I mean, this is what I want to do. I want to party. I want to rave. I want to do all this. I'm not saying they are wrong things to do. But then suddenly, your heart will be weighed down. Sometimes cares of life, I will explain cares of life in a short while. Cares of life, and that day will come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of this earth. You see, a snare is something that traps you. It will come like a trap. You see, when the animal walking out there, I don't know if any of you have lived in the countryside before, you live in the farm before, I mean, they try and trap, I mean, predators, right? And the trap is set. The predator doesn't know. You step on it, and then it catches you. And that is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to snare you, trap you unexpectedly. Now, let me go back. Say, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. It didn't say it might. It will come to pass. That means it will happen. And to stand before the Son of Man. So for us to stand tall before Jesus Christ, we have to watch and pray because the enemy will work in a way to trap you. Whilst you think that you got it all sorted, that is when something happens. Watch therefore and pray always. Pray always. In this church, we are teaching you and encouraging you that to have intimacy with God, you have to learn to pray for yourself, just you and God, not you and your husband or your wife or your children, your personal life. And we said, make sure that you pray at least 1 hour a day, fast at least 1 day a week, to bring yourself closer to God so that you can know God for yourself. I'm so excited that sometimes I hear people and say, Pastor Gideon, you know what? I don't have to come to you for prayers no more. I can pray for myself. I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. And when I took some time off with my wife just to have some rest, I mean, I watched you guys on video and I saw how you are ministering. I'm thinking, wow, these people can do things for themselves. They can worship God for themselves. They can pray for people for themselves, right? This is an incredible point that we are teaching you guys. So take heed. Because when you do that, then you become a stand-up guy. I like Daniel because I always see him as a stand-up guy. In the times and the revelation that he was having, at that time he was in exile. At that time, he didn't have no freedom. From a young age of about 14 or 17, thereabout, he stood until 110 years when he died. This guy never backslid. He never forgot God. He was a stand-up guy where he had to stand up and say, no, I will not bow down to the image of ungodly a man. I will not do anything against my God. I will not even eat the food that they give to the people. I will rather fast and eat vegetables. He was a stand-up guy in every situation. They put him in a lion's den, and a lion could not eat him. They did everything. They stripped him of his titles and didn't bother him. And each time they stripped him of his titles, he got promoted. The guy was a prime minister in three kingdoms. Or chief minister in three kingdoms, if you want to put it that way. That is powerful, isn't it? He was a stand-up guy. So he says, stand up. Jesus said this. Says, stand up. So that one day we will stand up before the Son of God. So what does it mean to weigh you down? What does it mean to weigh you down? You can write something down. To weigh you down is to be so busy. Is to be so busy in your business, in your work, or cares of life that you don't pray. Did you get that? You get so busy with your work, you get so busy with your job, you get so busy with your business, with the curse of life, that you don't even have the energy or the time to pray. This is what Jesus Christ is talking about. Or it also means that to be busy serving, that you don't even have fellowship with God. Sometimes you go to a church and people are always serving. I have to do this. They are so busy doing that. And their sole aim is to do what they are doing, that they don't even have time to have fellowship with God. They don't have time to have intimacy with God. They do what they have to do, and they sit in the church and they're either falling asleep or they just zone out. So they only come to church to work. But God is not looking for workers. He's looking for people who will serve him. Did you get that? That is what God is looking for. So, they become so busy serving that they don't have fellowship with God. We must never be too preoccupied with our worldly assignment that we fail to spend time with God. Now, the cares of life that we're talking about, when you look at Matthew chapter 6, you find so many things there. And you can go and read it for yourself. But for time's sake, curse of life is sometimes our children becomes our curse of life. Doesn't mean that neglect your children. In fact, if you have children, you have to look after them. The Bible exhorts you to do so. Our laws expect you to do so. Society expects you to do so. But you see, sometimes people's life is so much into their children that they don't have time for anything. Yes or no? You see, I'm a parent with three children who are now young adults. And therefore, I know how children can preoccupy your life. And sometimes if you give children chances, children can be very selfish, you know. If you give them the chance, they will control your life as a parent. But remember that children are actually visitors into your life. You go into marriage without them, or you were born without them. They come into your life, and one day they will just get married or find their own way, and you'll still be there. Some Christians have found some lovely word. They call it empty nest. That means you come in married with your nest empty to start with, and then they come and help it out, they come and fill it, and then they leave your nest again. Right? I don't really use those words, but I find it quite intriguing. That suddenly you see that they come and they go. So if you put all your hope in them, they grow up, they find their way, and you'll be kind of an old man and on your old woman, you kind of holding your hands on the road, going to your bank or hospital appointment, and they're not there. You see, I'm not saying they are bad people. They have to work. They have to look after their own children as well. They are busy. So, curse of life. Don't put all your hope in your children. Pray for them, love them, care for them whilst you have them, because they are entrusted to you. Sometimes the curse of life is about money. We chase so much money, but we forgot that we came with nothing and we'll go with nothing. I've never seen anyone with so much money and died, and they've packed all even in the coffin. And even when they pack all in the coffin, the person doesn't know what to do with it. The person is dead. You understand that? I'm not saying money is bad. Money is good. If you don't have money, you are miserable, you know. It's absolutely true. Yes or no?
Yes.
You need money for everything. So don't hate money. Don't be so Christian and say, I don't like money. Please work for the money. If you are entitled to some social, work for it. If you have an investment, invest for money. It's important, because when you have it, you can live good lives. However, don't let it be the care of your life. Don't let your problems be the cares of your life. You always walk in problem. You're always like miserable. Yeah, it's me again. It's me again. It's me again. You're always miserable. You're letting that dominate you. That's cares of life. You see, don't let cares of life. You see, do not be weighed down by cares of life. It could be your marriage. I've been married for 33 years, right? Sometimes it's challenging, but you got to work at it. You understand that? Other times it is so beautiful, right? Some people have been married for 40 years and more, and they're still around. I just want you to know that it's because you've got best friends there. Sometimes it's lonely, you know, if you're just alone, all alone, and you want to get married and you haven't got one. It's so lonely, it could be, because I talk to people. I just want you to know that do not let these things that you desire control your life, that you can't do anything, that you can't even pray. Sometimes even your car will give you so much problems. These are all end-time distractions. Do you believe that this morning we sat in the vehicle that we normally drive to church, we put the ignition in, we turn, and said, pip, 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 it won't start. I just said in my mind, you're not going to distract me. Let's move and get another car. And thankfully, we had another car then, and we just jumped into it and we came. These are cares of life. You see, and I'm not even thinking, oh, how am I going to service it? How am I going to get the money? I'm not even thinking about it, because when I'm ready, that car will start. Hallelujah. If it's got to be taken to mechanic, I will not be too spiritual about it. I'll just take it to the mechanic and they will look at it. Do you understand that? I'm being very honest with you guys, because sometimes some Christians are just too spiritual that they cannot even do things for themselves. They think they have to pray before. Let me stop there. Because I will digress, right? Hallelujah, Lord. Yes. Anyway, let me move on. There are so many things. Please read Matthew chapter 6. Jesus Christ talks about it, even where you sleep, what you eat, what you put on, all sort of things. I say, look, I look after the lilies. I look after the birds. They don't work. They don't do anything, and there will be provision for them. Now, distractions, I'm still on number 4. This is where I will spend a little bit of time, and the rest will probably be much quicker. Distractions will also weigh you down when you suddenly, underline the word suddenly, become confused. When you suddenly become confused, doubting yourself and depressed. Have you been there before? That you are all okay and suddenly you become confused. Suddenly you begin to doubt your own ability. Suddenly you become depressed. Remember what I said? Distractions can be a person, a thing, or a place. It may well be where you are. It may well be somebody coming into your life or an environment that you are. Someone stirring something. You just amazing, happy, getting on. And suddenly some devil show up the face and make your life miserable. Suddenly. Do you understand that? Then when this happens, it weighs you down. You become confused. Why am I here? You begin to doubt yourself, and you start going down and down because you can't pray. You can't pray. You can't pray. Because when you are confused and when you are doubting yourself, you don't trust anybody. You don't even trust God. Do you find yourself in that way? Or just only me? Hello? If you are online, is that only me who goes through these things like this every now and then? It happens. So from this point, you become timid. And fear takes over, which paralyzes you from doing anything meaningful. You see, when you come to that point of suddenly getting confused and doubting yourself and depressed, you see that you become timid. You become fearful. And suddenly you can't take any decision. You become paralyzed. The very people that you'll be hanging around with, you are afraid of them. The very thing that you were able to do, closing your eyes and not even thinking, you think you can't do them. You become paralyzed and you cannot achieve anything meaningful. In case you're thinking I'm making it up, let's look at a reference from 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm reading verse 4 and verse 9 and 10. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, 9, and 10. That is the story about Elijah. Elijah was a very powerful prophet of God, spokesperson for God. The Spirit of God was upon him. And when he says things, it does happen. And he was able to challenge the prophets of Baal. And this guy was able to, at that time, the people of Israel were neither here nor there. They were in the course on Sunday, they go and worship God. And after Sunday, they go and do their own thing, will not worship God, do all the bad things that they could do. And Elijah challenged them. The God that will answer by fire when we have a sacrifice, that God is the God that we should serve. So he was challenging the people whether they want to worship the God of this world or they worship the Almighty God. And after he challenged them and won that battle, Elijah literally told the people to put to sword all the prophets of Baal who were deceiving the people of God. And after he's killed them, Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom. And Ahab's wife is called Jezebel. That woman operated the spirit of witchcraft. That woman has so many things following her. She was powerful in the spirit, but a different kind of spirit. That's what Daniel was talking about. But this time was actually even pre-Daniel. And Jezebel said, Elijah, I'm going to kill you. He says that God forbid that if I let you live the next day, I'm coming to kill you. But Elijah was a powerful man of God. Nobody could challenge him. And yet, the woman said, I'm going to kill you. And let's see what happened to Elijah. He ran away. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 and verse, listen, okay, I'll read from my side. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. Elijah praying that he might die. And this is what he said. It is enough now. Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. It is enough. I've had enough, God. Take my life. Here was a man who has won a very powerful victory. That people's heart have been turned to God. Fire has come down to devour a sacrifice that has been soaked with water. Great miracle. The prophets of Baal were not answered by their God, but the God of the heaven answered him. And yet, when he was told that he was going to be killed, he ran for his life. Went to sit under a tree. And when he went to sit under a tree, he prayed that he might die. Look at the prayer that he would pray. How many of you pray that prayer that you might die? Good Lord, I don't pray that prayer. That's the man was so desperate that he said, God, I want to die. Why? Because fear has crippled him. Now, let me roll back into our reality. Have you got to a point that you feel like giving up? That there's no hope in you? When you get to that point, you are as if you are saying, God, kill me. I'm not ready to live. Because you get to a point that you feel that life is not worth living. That was how Elijah found it. It is enough now. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, that's word of God came to him. Probably an angel told him. Said, what are you doing here? Elijah, what's happened to the projection? What are you doing here, Elijah? So the question for me right now is that if you're running for your life, if you are at a point of giving up, I want you to know it's an end-time distraction that is weighing you down. And at the moment, if you feel like you can't do anything, if you feel that the curse of life, you feel that you don't know whether to turn left or want to turn right, the voice of the Lord in your ears is that, Elijah, what are you doing here? Put your name there. What are you doing here? Gideon, what are you doing here? What are you doing here that you're so miserable, you feel like giving up? What are you doing that you can't even pray? Because Jesus is saying that when you are being weighed down, you can't pray. You can't do anything. Is that only me who goes through that sometimes? If you do, show me your hand so that I feel a bit comfortable. Thank you. Thank you. At least Duane agrees with me. So I feel a bit better that I'm not the only, non-Christian here. So here we see, and then look at what Elijah was saying. He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets, and with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. You know what? Suddenly Elijah is blaming everybody, right? Suddenly it's everybody's fault. Suddenly he's recounting everybody's fault but his fault. Suddenly at that point, he's saying that the people have torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. How did he know that? They did, but how did he know that? He was a prophet, they didn't kill him. Somebody else wanted to kill him. He said, I alone am left, and they seek to take my life too. Actually, when you read on, you see that God has 450 people, prophets, who have not bowed their knee to the idols. So at that point, you think you are the only one in trouble. God, help me. I'm the only one in trouble. You see, can't you see that I'm sinking? Can't you see that I'm dying? Can't you see? Can't you see? Can't you see? All that you do is complain, 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 because you are focused on the issue instead of being focused on God. At that point, you are weighed down. You are sinking. Do you get that? Can I get some response from you? Yes. Thank you. Now, number 5. What is the purpose of distraction? To make you a wanderer. You are wandering. You go there and you come there. You are wandering. Yeah? You are a wanderer. You just go there. And then you come here. Why am I going there? What did I come here for? You see, sometimes I just get up from the living room. I'm going upstairs and I go there and I forget what I went there for. Yeah, when you reach certain ages like that. Dad is laughing. You go there with a purpose. You're going to get something. You get there and you're thinking, what did I come here for? It will take you a few minutes. Sometimes you have to go down again. Sit down. There's no point thinking about it because you will remember. You may watch a little bit of television and then you remember, then you go for it. You better go. Don't worry, you'll get there. But I pray that you will not be like them. Anyway, so to make you a wanderer, distraction always comes when you are near to obtaining a goal, right? I'm talking about number 5. When you are near to obtaining a goal, distractions come. Every time you are close to, say, achieving something in life, maybe you want to buy a business or get some contract, distraction will come. Every time you are close to getting some healing in your life, some distraction will come. Every time that you want to achieve something in life or something spiritual in life, distraction will come. Anytime that there's going to be a growth in your church, in your life, there's some kind of a breakthrough in your life, something comes to distract you. Sometimes you pray so much and you see signs of rain coming in your life. And even at that time, something distracts you and doesn't come. Why is that? Because distractions are end time strategy of the enemy. And the enemy uses distractions to get people confused. You get that? It gets you confused. Someone who is distracted gets confused in the mind, right? You get confused in the mind. You lack in conviction, and therefore you become a wanderer. At that point, you don't know why you are doing what you have to do. A wanderer is lost in his or her way. If you are a wanderer, you are lost in your way. You are lost in your conviction, and you will not attain your goal. Why? Because you are being distracted from achieving that goal. The main purpose of being a wanderer is to literally detour you from the will of God for your life. Detour means that as if you are going that way and you end up that way before that way. It delays what God wants to do in your life. Are you with me so far? When you're a wanderer, things are delayed for you. They are distractions. Things that need to come very quickly, it takes much longer. And sometimes it takes you there before you come to the point. It delays what God wants for you. It gets you confused in the mind. Number six. That'll be my last point about a purpose. There may be more, but I just want to stick with these six so that I can finish the message today where possible. You see, the purpose of distraction is to bring stagnation and complacency. Stagnation and complacency. Are you writing something down? To bring stagnation and complacency. You get into either the maintenance mode. You know about building, so you know about maintenance. You either get into the maintenance mode or stagnation mode, so you don't grow. I will explain this. You get into maintenance mode or stagnation mode, so you don't grow. Distractions, if you are in maintenance mode, you are content of where you are. You don't want to do anything. You are happy where you are. And yet where you are, you can do better. And you're still stuck there. How many of you have been in a job, one place, one position for 10, 20, 30 years? If you are, there's no shame. Just lift up your hand and let me see. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You see, you know something? It's a good thing. But you are in maintenance mode. That means you are not hungry anymore. You are not pushing for more anymore. You are happy where you are because it's a safe place to be. But you know what? God wants us to push for more. See, the people of this world push for more, so why not you? If there's that opportunity, push for more. More will give you more influence, more power, more money, more everything. And to make life a little bit easier for you so that you don't exert yourself too much. You know the people who take most pressure are the people who are at the bottom. Because everybody just literally pour on them. They have nobody to control. So, if you've been in the position for so long, begin to ask yourself, God, you know what? This is a distraction. I want to move on to do something. If there's an opportunity for you to. If not, begin to tell them, look, I got all this experience. You're not going to pay me the same money you've been paying me for the last 10 years. I got to get double. Hallelujah. You see, people are afraid to do that. For 27 years, I worked in only three employment organizations. And at one point, I'm thinking, you know what? I've been here for a little while. You double my pay or I'm gone, if you value me. Look at footballers. I mean, 100 million for a contract, right? What did they do? Play football? 100 million. And those who are sitting there watching, next time they go to the manager's office and say, you know what? I've been playing for you for 2 years, 3 years, and you only pay me 30 million, and somebody come and the person is worth 100 million, better double mine. If not, put me on a transfer list. So I'm telling you realities of life. You should be able to. Don't be afraid, because the strategy of the enemy is to put fear in you. In this church, we want to encourage you that we have a mighty God, that you have to be able to be brave, right? Are you with me? You got to be brave. Believe your God. Pray about it. Say, God, I've done this work for 10 years. And young men and women come, and when they come, I teach them. The next moment, they are my managers. The next moment, they are the directors, and I'm still here. Why? Don't play the race card. You are in maintenance mode. Hallelujah. You are not hungry anymore. You are not pushing for more anymore. And when you are in stagnation mode, you are indifferent. That means you don't care. You are dead weight. See, those in the watchman night, I spent a lot of time teaching them, last Friday, and went in a bit detailed about this. But literally, you are indifferent. That means you don't care. What? You're there. You are dead weight. That means you are not adding any value. You're not growing. But God wants you to be in the growth mode and expansion mode. Say to somebody, expansion mode. Say to somebody, I want to be in expansion mode. I want to be in the growth mode. I don't want to be in maintenance mode. And I don't want to be stagnated. Hallelujah. You know what you've done? You've made a declaration. God has heard it. And God will honor what you have said. I'm speaking this from experience. You see, sometimes when you're in the maintenance mode, the enemy doesn't bother you at all. He is quiet with you. And he will not do anything against you. But know that destruction will come, whether you like it or not. And comes especially when you want to get into expansion mode. But we have to do something about this. So let's see the consequences of being distracted. The consequences of being distracted. One, when you are distracted, you lose focus. And you lose your conviction. Number two, when you are distracted, it delays your progress. It's as if I'm rehashing what I'm teaching you. It delays your progress. You don't progress in life if you do slowly. Number three, it makes you unproductive. When you are distracted, you become unproductive. Hear me in the galleries. Hear me in the sanctuary. Hear me online. You become unproductive. Nothing tangible to show for. You have nothing to show for. People who are distracted, sometimes they get into a career and suddenly they leave. At the end of the day, they don't even have no promotion to show for. They don't have even more money to show for because they cannot stand the heat of life. But that is all distraction. Number four, a person that is distracted cannot accomplish anything. Number five, when you are distracted, your strength is scattered. Your strength is scattered. You do a bit of everything. You know a bit of everything. You don't focus to achieve those big things. But God created us for that we'll be able to achieve those big things. We cannot continue to be distracted. Number six, you become a wanderer. That means you move away from the will of God and you become confused because you wonder, what does God want me to do? Today you want to be an accountant, the next day you want to be a doctor. And next minute you want to be a politician. One person jumping from this and that, you know it's not possible. You're all over the place. Number seven, if you are distracted, you have many options. You have so many things on your mind, you don't even know which one to do, and you do nothing. You always have an option. So today I want you to tell yourself that I have a vision. That you have a goal. that until you see yourself achieve those goals. I don't know what it is, maybe that you want to graduate in college, or you want to graduate to university and with a good classification. Maybe you want to get married, maybe you want that promotion, or maybe you want that business to go to, you want that big job. Until you have it, you tell yourself, I'm not going to get distracted until I have these things, which are my goals in life. Amen? You don't want to get distracted until you have these things in your hands. If after you've had this conviction in your heart and you work at it and you haven't achieved it, it's simply because you're out of focus. And if you're out of focus, you're not concentrating in what God will do for you. But the good news is that there is always a way out. And I want to bring out these 3 points, and then I'll finish the topic today. How am I doing with time? Well, okay. So, there's a way out. And the way out, what do you need to do to overcome distractions? That's another way to put it. What do I have to do to overcome distractions? Number one, you need to set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. Let's read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. That means you, as a child of God, you need to focus on something. And what you need to focus on is that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead, overcome all obstacles to give you that power, that ability for you to also achieve something, to become an achiever. The resurrected Christ is victorious and is in a supernatural position. So a mindset determines your focus. What you set your mind to do is what will determine what you are focused on. A mind that is set or focused on something, that something cannot be hidden from you. If you focus on something, you will achieve it. Do you know that? Because just before the pandemic, we focused our mind that we're going to upgrade this church building physically. And this beautiful place that you are sitting is because we focused our mind. We didn't even have that money, right? Now, at the end of the day, it cost us nearly £500,000. English pounds, right? Not EC dollars or Jamaican dollars. Well, I wouldn't talk about the naira. So, what we are saying here is that a mind that is set, you can achieve whatever you want if you have that mindset and you ask God to help you. You got to work at it. You got to do something. We did not sit down thinking, oh God, we are praying for you to upgrade this place for you. We are praying for this, you to upgrade this place for you. That's a loser's language. Yes, we prayed, but we also did other things. And we believe God to help us, and God did help us. Amen? So if in this church I want to teach you to pray to God, but also do something about your situation, because God has given you that mindset. When you are focused on something, you will attract 3 things. One, you attract people. I'm still on number one. You attract people with the same mindset as yours. They will come to you. Those people with the same mentality will come around you. Thank you. So, when you have that mindset, right, bless you. When you have that mindset, you will attract destiny. That means your destiny will come to you. Are you hearing me? Your destiny will come to you. I'm not getting a response. Your destiny will come to you. Because you are focused on it, because you are focused on it, you are calling it into being. You are working at it and calling it into being. I will not be taken away from my vision, my goal, and my purpose. I pray this into being. No power of darkness will be able to take it away from me. No human being will be an obstacle. No mountain can be in my way and prevent me from getting what I have to do. I'm focused, so my destiny will come to me. I call you into being. This is not motivational language. This is serious prayer. You call into being that which is not. That is scripture. Because something good is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. The third thing that you attract is you attract opportunities. You see, when you have that mindset on Christ and focus on Christ and the resurrected Christ and praying and doing things, you attract opportunities. You open your eyes and you put your mindset on things of God, He will bring opportunities your way. Amen. People who are distracted do not attract anything. We have to change our mindset. Number two, how do you overcome that? Looking unto Jesus. Let's read the Bible verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This is the last Bible verse that we are picking up. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You are running that race with endurance. That means you are not giving up so easily. Don't give up so easily. You are pressing on. You are persevering. You are being persistent in what you have to do by you looking to Jesus. Because there's a cloud of witnesses. There's a whole lot of things that can actually detract you or distract you from your vision. But lay aside every weight that I've mentioned about and every sin which easily traps us and snares us. You see, Jesus Christ, His focus was on the cross. So He did not focus on what was going on. And even though there was pain on the cross, even though people were insulting Him, they offended Him, even though people hurt Him, people stripped Him naked and they shamed Him, He was not offended. So today I'm saying that do not be offended. Do not let anything take you out of focus when you are determined to achieve what you want to achieve. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know if we serve tea and coffee here, you come alive. So sometimes criticisms will come upon you. People will criticize you. Some people will even lie about you. But you see, someone who wants to be successful, criticism should be your silent companion. Do you understand that? Should be your silent companion. You're hearing it, but you haven't heard it. It should spur you on for greater things. See, when people are criticizing, that means they see something about you that you are doing, and sometimes they don't want you to achieve that. That's why they're doing that. But if you're doing the right thing, it should be a silent companion for you. You will not be afraid to be a supernaturalized. See, some people are afraid. When we talk about supernaturalized, they say, oh, God, oh, supernatural, that is, ooh. But in this end time, there's so much supernatural things happening. People are involved in occult. People are involved in reading the palm. People are involved in witchcraft. People are involved in Freemasons. People are involved in so many things which is happening. That is okay. People selling their soul to the devil. That is okay. People openly worshiping the devil. That is okay. People doing all sorts of things which is against God. That is okay. But talk about the supernatural and think, we Christians, we Baptists, we can't talk about supernatural. Supernatural means the Holy Spirit power being evident. That's all it. We want the Holy Spirit power to be evident in our life. Didn't Jesus say, you shall receive power? That's 1:8. So if this is it, then we don't have to be afraid of being supernaturalized. We shouldn't be afraid of casting out demons. We shouldn't be afraid of putting our hands on the sick and people shall be healed. Demons are not good things. They mess up people's life. So we Christians have the power to get them out of people. That is exactly what we can do and what we do. You see, we have the power to preach, to bring revelation. Let me bring the final point and I'm done. You see, what are we saying? How do we overcome distractions? You must refocus on your original intent. What did you set out to do? What did you set out to do? You must refocus on your original intent. Don't forget who you are. Don't doubt yourself. Don't forget what you set out to achieve in life. God created you with a divine purpose that you need to fulfill. Maybe God wants you to be a preacher. I got distracted. And I became an accountant. And God, by His grace, I literally rose up to the ranks. But then I have found my purpose. Maybe God made you a lawyer. Maybe a businessman, a social worker. Maybe a landscaper. Maybe whatever. A painter, a teacher, a decorator. Whatever God has made you, a driver. Get up and refocus on your original intent. For God is always in expansion mode to increase you, to expand you, to make you bigger. So go back today, as you go home, go back and refocus on prayer, refocus on serving God and serving people, and so that you can walk in your calling.